Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is Overdrive on TSN1050.
All right, Richard Griffin coming up from the Toronto Star. What food do you like that's no good for you? Because we went to the cafeteria there for that break, and they had butter tarts. Now, even the name, right? Like, just screams, not good for you. This is butter in a tart.
Yeah, and you're a fiend.
Love butter tarts.
You absolutely devour butter tarts.
So I was playing a golf tournament on Friday up in Parry Sound, and they always have, like, a different snacks at different holes, and the one is M&M Meat Shops. It has a big, you know, barbecue, and one of the ladies from M&M Meat Shops knows I love butter tarts and makes them. She has homemade butter tarts that she brings just for me.
Look at you, high maintenance Gordon.
No, so to not
diva Gordon.
So to not have one would be insulting.
I think that's kind of a diva move.
Well,
I gotta be honest.
I don't ask for them. She knows I like them.
Makes them. It's a very nice gesture by her, but I think you need to go to her and say, in the future, don't worry about me. Don't slave in the kitchen for my, you know,
heroin.
Yeah, for your heroin, exactly.
So my question to you is, what is the thing that you know has no redeeming qualities whatsoever?
Well, almost everything I like to eat. Like, I'm not one of these people that enjoys a really healthy meal.
You know what the worst thing is at this tournament? Is crushing, like, three butter tarts, and then Gary Roberts walks by.
Yeah, he would not
he's like a kale and, you know, whatever.
He's a true believer. Like, I'll give credit to Gary Roberts, because he's not just preaching it and then hitting McDonald's drive through way home.
No, you know what's funny? I saw him at this tournament. It's Bobby Orr's tournament up there. And I just thought, let me pick up that name I just dropped. But he,
that was spectacular.
So,
a great name drop.
So I saw him a couple of years ago. I did this marching thing with the military and I'd lost a bunch of weight and I felt great. And so I saw Rob's. I'm like, he's like, hey, you lost some weight. And I was, yeah, I feel pretty good. He goes, just remember, Gord, just because you're not fat doesn't mean you're in shape.
I'm like, very good point.
Thanks a lot.
That defines me in a nutshell.
Really appreciate that.
That's me in a nutshell.
What's that?
Like, I lost a lot of weight, but I'm not in shape. Skinny fat. Skinny fat guy. Built like a cut bag, or a cut like a milk bag. Built like a cut bag.
So what's your thing?
I think I'm a chip guy. I was telling you that.
Yeah.
I love a bag of chips. You know, I love wings, pizza. I'm telling you, there's really nothing that...
Pizza's good for you, isn't it?
I think it's one of those things where, you know, fat guys like me try to convince people that it's good for you.
I had spinach pizza for lunch. Is that good for you?
I don't know. Probably not. It's dough. It's carbs, you know? I don't think it's necessarily something that you should be going out of your way to eat. It's better than other options.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, put vegetables on a pizza, great. It's still
I don't like wings.
Pizza.
Don't like wings. Don't like poutine. Don't drink beer.
Well, you're probably in a good spot then. You should be very healthy, ideally.
What are you saying? I'm not?
No, I think you're in good shape, right? Like, pretty good shape.
Right. I'm 53 years old.
Yeah. Could be a lot worse, Gord.
Well, thanks. Appreciate that.
That's what I'm saying, man. Anyway, so Richard Griffin will join us here in a moment. The Jays and the Orioles are a combined 83 games behind the Boston Red Sox. 83 games combined. And it's still August.
It's August. Like, there's a month and a half
to
go.
How awful could this get? Hey,
and not just that, it's mid-August.
Yeah. It's, what is it, August 20th today? Yeah,
like, it's mid.
There's 11 days left in the month.
And then 30 more.
Yeah.
After that.
There's a lot of games still left to be played.
I remember doing a Jays, they were the Devil Rays then, series, and I had emailed the D-Rays announcer to arrange to talk to him before the series, and they were like 50 games out. And he's like, due respect, but what could you possibly want to talk to me about?
Thanks for coming out, but don't ever talk to me again.
No, he was fine. He was just like, what would you like me to say? You know, and they...
Try to find a positive. Is that possible?
I remember their starting pitcher. One of the games had like he was like 3-12, in a terrible ERA. Hadn't lasted beyond the fourth inning. His last five starts had all these stats on how terrible he was. 3-hit complete game shutout. He looked like Tom Seaver.
That's always
always the way it plays out. Right?
I was just like, are you kidding me?
Well, someone will do that tonight. Someone will look like a legitimate baseball player tonight. Well, I don't know who it's going to be.
But you know, they call it, the stock market, they call it a dead cat bounce. You know, like when a company's about to go bankrupt and the stock bounces a little bit just because, you know, predators are moving in on it. Or a sucker rally. And in baseball, you always get caught. I think hockey, too. You get caught in the late season sucker rally, right? Some teams 9 miles out of the playoffs, they make a late run and say, yeah, next year, you know, we're going to follow up and it's going to be great. No.
No. Not happening.
No.
That was always the way with the Leafs forever. The Jays as well, that 20-year gap right. between playoff appearances. Kids would come up in September. Yeah. You're like, there he is. That's the next Mickey Mantle. Like Brett Laurie did that. When Laurie came up.
He was the next Mickey Rivers.
Exactly. He was hitting like Mickey Mantle, and then we know what happened. Here's Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star. Griff, of these two numbers, which one is more daunting to you? Which one is more just astounding to hear? That the Jays and Orioles are a combined 83 games behind Boston, or that their run differential is a combined minus 282?
Well, both of those are pretty stunning, but the thing Gord was talking about a minute ago, take the Blue Jays whenever they're coming off of playing the Yankees or the Red Sox, because this should be like the premiership in soccer. You should have three tiers, and the Jays don't belong on the same field as the teams in the top tier. Yankees, Red Sox, Astros, they don't belong on the same field. So you play a team like the Orioles, those numbers you read off, somebody's going to have a great game tonight.
Yeah. Oh, it's inevitable. The Jays own Baltimore. You got to give them that. Right, you got to give them something. They're 9-1, I think, against Baltimore this year, so they have that going for them.
Yeah, it ruins the stat when you're saying how bad they are against the AL East because they can't beat Tampa either.
No, it's very deceiving.
Griff, they really did get slaughtered in New York, didn't they? I mean, that was a
and you look at the way they played, and you look at the way they competed, and if you were paying attention within the game, I mean, they had a lot of guys swinging at balls in the dirt. Seeming disinterested. You had Kevin Pillar trying to steal third, down four runs, and saying that he hoped that a little bit of rain on the catcher's hand, he would have thrown the ball into left field, which seems like a revisionist history to me for a major league player to be thinking like that. So, you know, they got to sort of regroup, and Gibby's got to be a part of that and get these guys thinking baseball. There's another 38 games left.
Well, and that's where I come at it from. Like, the John Gibbons story, we all know where it's going to end. We know that he's out of here in a month and a half. And I think he's a pretty good manager. I think he's had a very good run. But I've been a little bit thrown off by the lack of criticism being directed towards him at all. I mean, quite frankly, there's been none. And listen, that's Pillar. Pillar's being an idiot, but why does he feel like he can get away with that? Like, their fundamentals are awful. Their defense has been, they're one of the worst three or four defensive teams in the league. When does Gibbons have to have some blood on his hands for that? Like, doesn't he have to take some responsibility?
You have to take some responsibility, but I think organizations have to take responsibility. You got a guy who's 29 years old, has been in the organization for the better part of a decade, and this is the way he's playing ball. I mean, when you come to the major leagues, you're supposed to be more of a finished product than that. And to have a guy in a situation like that just give himself up and take his team out of the game, out of the inning, you know, you can't have coaches reminding players at the major league level every day of what they should be doing in certain situations. I don't even do that with my junior team of 19 to 21-year-olds. And if one of them did that in a game, he'd be out of the game. And like, before he could even stand up, he'd be gone.
Well, and that's part of the conversation for tonight, because Pillar's back in the lineup. He's hitting in the two-hole, and Gibbons was asked about it, and he said he didn't even think twice about, you know, more of a repercussion that he'd have to pay.
Well, in baseball, the wrath of a manager is like a strained hamstring. It's day-to-day.
Right.
You know, you play 162 games, and he made his point, and there's seven guys younger than Kevin Pillar that were in that dugout at Yankee Stadium listening to the manager go off on Pillar. And if they didn't learn their lesson there, they're not going to. I fear for Teoscar Hernandez learning that lesson. But, you know, he's still learning to run his routes on a GPS he got from Dollarama. So
it's ugly, man. It really is. And you know, I think I guess I'm getting frustrated because I don't know who to blame anymore. Like, that's how bad it is. Yeah, you know, the players take up a large portion of it. Management has to. The manager has to. The coaching staff has to. The atmosphere, the culture. I mean, it's a moving target every single day.
Yeah, I think when you're on the line to win 70 to 75 games, it's difficult. It's not impossible, but it's difficult to have guys focusing all the time. There's a reason the Houston Astros, who are recognized as one of the best developmental teams and the analytics experts in baseball, let a guy like Teoscar Hernandez go in a trade because he has some faults. So if you gather bargain basement players and hope that they develop at the major league level, you're fooling yourself.
Richard, Sean Reed Foley, losing to Kansas City is one thing. You know, the Yankees hit him pretty hard. What'd you think of his brief time up?
Well, I think it was necessary. I think they're still wiping the froth off his back because of the excitement that he felt and the anxiety that he felt. So it's going to help him when he comes back up later in September. He's going to be a part of their future, 22 years old. Everybody needs to go through that. Unfortunately, it was at Yankee Stadium and in Kansas City. And they're hoping that he'll be more under control when he comes up the next time. But he's got a great arm. He's got major league stuff. He's just not ready.
What about Billy McKinney making his debut for the Jays over the weekend? He's still up with the team. I don't believe he's playing tonight. But what do you expect out of him down the stretch?
Well, I think he'll get some playing time. I think a lot of these guys will get playing time once September 1st comes around and they have a roster that's loaded up. They know what Teoscar Hernandez can do. He's not in the lineup tonight. You'll have guys like that sitting down and seeing what guys like McKinney can do, because they're not sure what their future looks like in 2019. And if they want to discover what they've got and then fill in the holes for 2020, when I believe that they're planning to on at least competing for 85 wins, then they need to see what they have in September heading into 2019.
What about Estrada? Do you think he's still a Blue Jay this time 2 weeks from now?
2 weeks from now, I would say there's a chance. He hasn't been pitching well enough for a contender to say, yeah, he's going to help us. But end of the season and in September, they may just throw him down in the bullpen because he's not a part of their future. And they'll try their best to find a deal for him between now and the end of August, but I think that there's a chance he'll be in the bullpen in September.
With Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star, you know, the ups and downs of the careers of Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez, it's been kind of almost eerie the way it's played out. When one is up, the other one's down. When one's healthy, the other one's on the DL. And it appears as if that's going to happen again, with Stroman now dealing with the blister issues, ironically enough. Sanchez is getting another minor league stint, I believe, tonight, and he may be back in the rotation come this weekend. I mean, where do you stand on those two as being viable options as top-of-the-rotation guys? Like, they're not kids anymore. How are we supposed to project what they're going to be next season, let alone 3 or 5 years down the road?
Well, that's a great question, because we saw in a full season what Sanchez could do. He led the American League in ERA, and everyone thought that was a breakout season. And then 2 years in a row, he's had finger issues. This one wasn't a blister. The year before was, and now Stroman getting the blister issues. I think during the off season, they should have a program for their pitchers where they bale hay all winter so it's toughen up their hands.
Yeah, something's got to give.
Or soak them in pickle juice.
Yeah. It's just, you know, there's nothing you can do, I guess. You have to believe they've tried something to avoid these blisters, right?
Yeah, and there's also, I have theories on it. I mean, back in the old days, they didn't change the baseball every time it touched the dirt. Now you got a new ball with a slick cover and the lace is as stiff as they can be, brand new balls every pitch. And to me, that's a part of the problem. It used to be catchers tried to keep the ball in the game as long as they could.
Right.
Now, as soon as it touches the dirt, they're handing it to the umpire, getting a new ball. And I think that might have something to do with it, but who knows?
Yeah. Go yell that today. Just go out into the middle of the field and start yelling about the replacement of baseballs on every single pitch. See what happens. See how quickly you get arrested.
Yeah. Well, I'm tired of yelling at baseball players with my team bowing out in the Ontario Championship.
Oh, no.
So,
Oh, that's a shame.
Is the manager back next year, or are the rumblings about him, too?
They don't know. I threw the media out of my office.
As you should.
Did you do a Hal McCray?
Yeah.
Just smash the TV, throw the chair.
throw the phone, right.
Yeah, I would love to see that. Imagine that.
Griff goes off.
Yeah, notable baseball journalist kicks media out of his own scrum. That would go
right.
over well. Well, what are you expecting for the attendance conversation over the next three nights with Baltimore in town?
Well, they're going to have, I mean, this is a horrible situation for the Jays moving forward. They're in a catch-22. They're trying to build new viewing areas in the ballpark for next year, and then they're going to use money for payroll to build those areas, and then because they're not spending on payroll, they're going to have nobody showing up. So I think we're going to see a preview of that this week. There should be mid-tens, 10 to 15,000 in the park, but they'll announce in the 20s because of tickets sold.
So what are you hearing then based on like what the new viewing experiences are going to be? What are they trying to test out? What can we expect?
Well, they're going to fire a cannon through one area and see if it hits anybody.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's illegal. I'm going to say, I think that's still against the law.
I'm pretty sure no one's going to sue because it's not going to hit anybody tonight. I guarantee it.
Well, if they have it all built up, and there are plans that Mark Shapiro was brought in for, if they have it ready for 2020, that's why I think they want to compete then, because they don't want an empty stadium with all these beautiful new facilities. So, you know, it's going to be a tough grind. They've already raised the season ticket prices. I had a letter from a season ticket holder. It was disgusted. They wanted their money by the end of August, and I don't think that's going to work either. So it's going to be a tough grind for the Jays over the next 16 months, but we'll see how that comes out on the other side.
All right, Griff, try to enjoy it tonight, man. We'll do it again down the road.
Yeah, we do our best.
Yes, you will. There's Richard Griffin, soldiering on, covering this baseball club with the Baltimore Orioles in town. Fading the Orioles tonight. I love the Jays. I think Marco Estrada goes legend tonight.
Okay.
Legend.
I think you are overstating the case. I think you're using hyperbole a little bit there.
I might be, but something's got to give. Someone's going to go off tonight.
It's the stoppable force against the movable object.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Both of them are very penetrable and very awful and horrible. That's running out of adjectives to describe these two
Pat
teams.
So Pat Tabler was in the Cubs organization when they lost 100 and some games one year. And I said, how was that? And he said, I was in the minors all year. I said, so what does that tell you? Like, if you're in the minors for the worst team in baseball, like, yeah, you're not there losing every day, but you're also not up there. They don't think you can help them.
You're bad enough
that the worst team in the league doesn't think you can help them.
Right. Or you are so...
Or they're trying to save you.
Exactly. You're looked upon so favorably that they're trying to save you.
We can't have them play with these guys.
Right. Which I don't think that's the case with the Jays. I mean, we goof around a lot, but they're going to win 70 games, 73, 74 games, which is awful, but it's not like horror awful like Baltimore. Baltimore, is 18 games behind the Blue Jays.
But to Richard's point, you know, you're talking about 2020, so you're thinking, you know, Vladdy Jr., Bo Bichette, like what we talked about. That's what you're selling. What you're selling now is what's in Buffalo and, you know, in the organization.
Yeah, and next year that's going to be a tough grind. Like, that's interesting what Griff said, that they're reaching out to season ticket holders about next year and saying, do you think you could pay us now? Good luck with that.
No.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, raising ticket prices seems...
Well, they did it going into this season, coming off a losing year a year ago, where I don't think the expectations were high for anybody that was being realistic. And I guess, you know, some people are going to buy into it.
Sure.
You're going to go down. It's about the experience. Even when they're a bad team, you still want to get to the ballpark.
And it's the weather. And, you know, if it's Saturday and the Yankees are in, I mean, the one thing is, the Yankees, the Red Sox, those teams come here, 10 times each, whatever it is?
Yeah, about that, give or take. 8 or 9 times a piece.
Yeah, I mean, so there's, you know, 18, 20 games right there.
Yeah. Over the course of the year, depending on what the schedule is, you probably get 30 to 35 home games, 30 home games a year where you're like, those are ones I'm willing to circle.
Yeah.
Then you're trying to sell 50. Like, that's where the marketing department really has to work.
Well, that's when you get the buses from the London Elks Club comes in. And
exactly.
They get 50 seats together, their name on the scoreboard.
It's kids' day, and let's get the schools out there if we can. And,
yeah.
You know, that's where you got to get creative. And they're not alone. There's a lot of, what, you think they're selling tickets in Baltimore right now? Or Tampa or Kansas City? No chance. you know. And it's not going to be very good next year. You're going to have some new toys. Vladdy's going to be up. Bichette may come up in the second half of next year. Who knows? Yeah. You know, but that's going to wear off if they're on pace for 70 wins.
It's hard, right? Because you're.
It seems like the expectation that they're going to compete in 2 years, those are lofty expectations. Like, I think there's only so far you can go.
But
you can't say, hey, 2023.
What else can you sell?
No, I understand.
What else can you sell? You either sell.
You take it 1 year at a time.
You're either selling the present or the future, right? You're either selling.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's not really the. That's 1 year removed from where we're at. You know, like 2020, that means, you got to get through 1 year and then it's all good. I find it hard to believe that this time next year, we're going to be sitting there saying, next year they can win 90 games. A lot is going to have to break the right way for the Blue Jays for them to be a competitive team in 2020.
If you think that most competitive teams go at least three deep in the starting rotation.
That's a part of the problem right there.
Right,
who's going to pitch for them?
So that's the thing, right? I mean, that's when you look at Boston and the Yankees, and we look at them because they're in the division. I mean, they're great offensive teams, no question, but I mean, look at their starting rotations.
Now, I mean, some would argue the Yankees, again, it's not like Houston's rotation or Boston's rotation, but Severino's a legit stud. Sabathia's been very good. Tanaka, since coming back of the DL, has been very good. Hap has been quality for him,
but
he hasn't been on the
realistically,
DL.
Who do the Jays have that's better than any of those guys?
Well, I think from a stuff perspective, Sanchez has that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Do I believe he's going to put it together for 30-plus starts next year? No, I don't. Stroman has some quality stuff. You know, we've seen that.
But results.
I mean, yeah, no, I understand that.
Like,
I can't give you a guarantee.
I was talking to a guy from who's involved with the Red Sox. I mean, every fifth day, you can pretty much chalk up a win when Sale's on the mound. And he's not he's one of their four.
Yeah, they've got a really deep rotation.
Yeah, so that costs money.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, to Richard's point,
or assets, like they went out and traded for Chris Sale, and it was a brilliant trade.
Yeah.
Right. And the Jays are not in a position where they're going to trade assets for a guy who's going to help them right now. So that's not going to happen this upcoming offseason. They're trying to shed money and get rid of older guys. So they're not going to have a really busy offseason. They're not going to sign a guy, you know, a veteran guy who's in his late 20s or early 30s to big money. They're not going to do it.
So Josh Donaldson's just.
That's still unknown. You know, I mean,
think about,
I don't know what they're going to do.
Think about 2 years ago and where he was and where they were. And I mean, just.
A lot has changed over 2 years.
Yeah. And it happens fast in baseball, right?
It does, man. That's pro sports, right? Like.
Well, that sport. That sport, especially. With no salary cap, the magnet of big teams is just, you know. And they want that. Baseball wants that. They're not going to hamstring the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Angels, the Cubs. They're not going to hamstring them.
Mm-hmm. And there's no guarantees that just because you spend, you're going to spend
or
you're going to win.
There aren't, but pretty much for every. I mean, yes, Kansas City won, no question. But for the most part, the big payroll teams, not all of them succeed, but the successful teams are, for the most part, big payroll teams. Now, that said, the Blue Jays' payroll is not completely out of line with what the Yankees are at.
No, since 2012, they've committed to the payroll. You know, they've been a top half of the year.
I guess what I'm saying is the Yankees' payroll is probably more efficiently used than the Blue Jays. The Yankees have done a better job with their own guys.
Well, exactly. That's what gets lost. If you want to focus on the contract that they acquired with Stanton, go for it. The amount of money that they can throw out to bring back Sabathia or bring back, you know, have a bullpen like they have with Chapman, and, you know, go for it. But they drafted and developed a lot of these kids.
Yeah.
You know, Judge is on the cheap. Sanchez, when he's healthy, is on the cheap. Yep. Gregarious is a guy, again, when healthy, that's a guy that they built up. They went out there and acquired Gleyber Torres. He's not getting paid anything.
Right.
Right?
So,
like,
so, yeah.
Greg,
I mean,
Bird.
And when they were
these
great
guys are all their own pieces.
When they were, and the last
Severino.
The last Yankee dynasty was, you know,
same thing.
Rivera and
Jeter and Posada and Bernie Williams.
Yeah, they were all Yankees, right? So, I guess, is there that kind of pitching? I just don't know. I just, is there that kind of pitching in the Blue Jays' future?
No, not on the surface. You know, like Sean Reed Foley, he's got good stuff. I don't know if he's a top of the rotation guy. Ryan Borucki, I don't get the sense that they're looking to him to be a Cy Young candidate 2 or 3 years down the road. And with the uncertainties of the production out of Stroman and Sanchez, those were the two guys who a year or two ago you would think you'd pencil in as staples of your rotation for the next half a decade. That is a question mark now. So
what are you selling?
I don't know what you're selling in terms of the rotation. Yeah. You're selling hope and health and, you know.
Rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah, basically. The NHL Network came out with their top 20 wingers going into this upcoming season. We'll tell you if a Maple Leaf made the list. We'll get to that next. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline a little bit later in the hour. The NHL Network, craving content.
It's August.
Yeah, it's August, and there's not much going on in the NHL. They're coming out with their top 20 list, right, going into the season. And we talked about their top 20 center list.
No one's at Kopitar.
A week or two ago.
Yeah.
Well, Kopitar was sixth.
I don't think he was on it.
No, he was on it.
Who wasn't on it? There was,
I don't know who you were thinking of, but
okay,
Matthews went 4, Tavares went 10, Nazem Kadri was not in the top 20. That's probably who you thought was supposed to be in there. They came out with their top 20 defensemen, I guess, a week or two ago. I didn't see it, but Morgan Rielly was not in the top 20. I believe today
Mark Edward Vlasic wasn't in the top 20 defensemen. That was what I was thinking of.
The defensemen, there's a lot of debatable guys on there. Like, there's, you know, like, should Torrey Krug be number 16? I like Torrey Krug. I don't think he's the 16th best
Shane
defenseman.
Shane Goss is 17th?
Yeah. Like, I think Morgan Rielly's a better player than Torrey Krug. I think he's better than Gostisbehere. I think until McAvoy proves himself a little bit more, McAvoy's got to show a bit more. Ryan Ellis was 20, who just got signed, and he's a really good player. But as for the top 20 wingers, they did not...
Differentiate right and left.
Right. They did not decide to break it up into left and right winger. They just said top 20 wingers. So there is not a Maple Leaf on the list.
Nope.
And I'm not surprised by that. If you amalgamate the two sides, I'm not surprised by it. I think if you're talking top 20 right wingers, Marner would be in the top 20 in the league, I would think.
Well, is Marner better than Mikko Rantanen?
Rantanen had over a point a game last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that was because of who he played with.
And I get Brock Besser, but he played half a year.
Right.
Well, two-thirds a year.
Yeah, I think that's...
He's good. Like, he's good.
Rickard Rakell is an underrated guy, but is he better than Marner? I don't know. Victor Arvidsson, his numbers aren't great. Like, Marner's had better numbers than him.
What's going to happen? I mean, that's... Man, there's going to be some tough contract decisions, right? I mean, just... What's Laine going to get?
Well, Laine, I would think...
If he scores 40 again.
And I think he will. Why would he not?
Again, but if he scores 40, I mean...
Why would he not do that?
Yeah.
Like, his rookie year, if you you know, look at it over the course of 82 games... He averaged, I believe, 40-plus. If you prorated over the course of 82, that's what it would have been. But he had an injury problem. I think he got concussed and missed 10 or 12 games, and he ended up scoring like 38. So based on 82 games a season, this guy's a 40-plus goal scorer every single year.
Scored 44 last year. I mean,
I think he scores 45, maybe 50 this year.
Yeah, so then what's that worth?
Well, I think probably what Eichel got. I think $10 million a year. Now, he plays wing, and that's what's going to hurt him, and that's what they'll push back on. They'll say, you're a winger, and it's not as important of a position as center ice, which is true. But if you're Laine and you can score 50, you'd be like, okay, well, Ovechkin's getting paid. Kucherov just got 8.5.
Yep.
Now, that, again, could be a counter that could hurt Laine, as Kucherov, I think, is better overall than Patrick Laine. The NHL Network has him rated as the best winger in the league, which I think you could make that case. You know, Ovi's up there. Obviously, Taylor Hall just won a heart. Marchand, Laine, there's a bunch of great wingers in the league. But Kucherov's coming off a 100-point season in the year before. He had like 85, and he signed for $8.5
million. So how much
was it? $9.5 million,
I believe. So how much of you say is, well, we don't do that here?
Go ahead. Say that all you want.
Well, but the point is, Brian, you have the leverage on the player. He has no arb rights.
That's right. Of course you do.
Like, if you want to drive a hard bargain, this is the time.
You can do it. For sure you can.
The weird thing in hockey is, when you have the leverage, when the player has the leverage, no one blames him for using it, right? No one ever blames a guy for walking as an unrestricted free agent or pending unrestricted free agent. But when the team has leverage, they're hesitant to use it.
Well, I think it's because they don't want to get in their own way. And what I mean by that is...
Don't fight with your best players.
Well, that, but also, should I not just try to pay this guy a little bit more than what I'd have to necessarily, but to save money down the road? So in other words, do I go to Laine and say, listen, man, I'll give you the $9 million a year. Here's an eight-year deal at $9 million. Or do I try to use the leverage that the CBA allows me, and then you go back-to-back-to-back 50-goal seasons, and then I got to give you 12 a year?
Yeah.
You know, so that's a part of it,
too. That's what happened with, you know, the cautionary tale is Montreal with P.K. Subban.
Exactly.
So you bridged him. He won the Norris. Now, you know, it was in a lockout shortened. There's all kinds of arguments Montreal makes. Lockout shortened year, you know, maybe he shouldn't have won it, whatever. Doesn't matter. He won it.
Right.
And Montreal's argument's useless. And at the end of the day, you know, depending on who you believe, either the owner or management gave him the $9 million.
I think we know the answer to that based on what happened with the trade a few years down the road. I don't believe Mark Bergevin ever wanted to give P.K. Subban that deal. But as for this current conversation about the rankings, who do you think on the Leafs has a better chance of breaking the top 20 this upcoming season? Is it Morgan Rielly into the top 20 defensemen or Marner or Nylander into the top 20 wingers?
I think Marner in the top 20 wingers. Now, depending on how much ice time Nylander gets, right?
Well, I think they'll probably be around the same boat.
Right, but if Marner's going to play with Tavares, which is what the indications are, and if he puts up 70 points or 80 points, you know, pretty tough to argue, right?
Yeah, although Nylander's going to play with Matthews, and if Matthews is healthy and they're both healthy, no reason why Nylander can't do the same thing.
Got to get him to camp first.
Yeah, well, it's getting closer and closer. I mean, the Nylander contract watch, it may not be on yet, but it will be in a couple of weeks.
It will be. It's early yet for that. I mean, it's really early yet, but...
But also the same thing with the Matthews contract that I think most of us, myself included, thought was a foregone conclusion that would be signed this summer. You know, McDavid got his, Eichel got his.
Yeah, right away, right?
Right away.
Yeah.
Almost the second they could sign an extension, they did. You don't have to do that. Obviously, the Leafs have chosen to take a different path, and they can be patient, but I'd be looking to lock him up long term. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Now, if you're haggling over money, then so be it. You know, and if there's a bit of a game of chicken going on, then that's the way it plays out. Neither side has to sign a deal right now. But generally, a player that stature, they get through their first 2 years, and the ability to sign an extension is available, it happens.
Yeah, and it's not how the system was supposed to work, but it's what it's become.
Right, which gets back to your point about using leverage. Like the NHL, the first 7 years of a guy's career, the team should have leverage and should utilize it. But
in baseball, for the first 6 years, you really do. And it's expected you'll use that leverage.
Mm-hmm.
In hockey, for whatever reason, they don't want to, I guess they're afraid to offend the player or whatever.
Yeah, and that's where Winnipeg's in an interesting spot because of the market, right? Like, to be fair and to be honest, Winnipeg is very different than Tampa because of reasons that we're well aware of. And they have to fight a bit of a Winnipeg tax or an Edmonton tax. And the weather isn't great, and it's a smaller town. It's the truth. You can glare at me all you want, but it's the truth.
What cities do you like?
It's not that I don't like them.
I'm making a list of all the cities you've railed on in the time that we've been together this summer.
I didn't rail against St. Louis.
You said
it has no profile.
You crushed St.
There's
Louis.
Nothing about St. Louis that I think is on the radar of a lot of people. It's not like summer vacation. Where are we going? We got to get to St. Louis. No one's ever said that in the history of St. Louis. But there's a reason why Winnipeg and Edmonton are on almost every player in the league's no-trade list. Now, Toronto's on it a lot, too. Yeah. A lot of Canadian teams are on it.
They got Scheifele and Ehlers on really good deals. Right? Winnipeg's got Scheifele and Ehlers. Scheifele at 6-1 and Ehlers at 6. Those are pretty good deals for the team. So, the issue is going to be, what do you get Laine done at? What do you get Kyle Connor done at?
Right.
And
Laine,
Jacob Trouba is going to be a tough one, too.
Laine's done more. Like Shifley, year over year gets better and better and better.
And he's a center.
And he's a center. But when they signed that deal, Shifley wasn't the player that he is today. Line A came out of the gate, you know, runner up for rookie of the year, and then 44 goals. So it's not like he's just slowly building up, and you're like, well, sorry, man, we can't give that to you. You might get there in 2 or 3 years. He's already arrived. He scores 50 this year. 50 is 50.
Yep. And, you know, and it's,
there's no sitting there saying, well, we think you can get to 65, so we're not going to pay you like a 65 goal scorer. It's, no, I scored 50. You got to pay me. Shifley didn't do that to him signing his deal.
Their highest paid player is Bufflin at 7'6".
Right.
So the Leafs have Tavares at 11. They're going to have Matthews probably north of 10, right? So that's going to be a dramatic. We talk about the Jets having cap trouble. You know, that could be the Leafs, right? That's the point people make about the Leafs, is that they're going to have a real tight squeeze.
They will, more than likely. Yeah, I mean, that's where, like, I think they got their bargain on Morgan Rielly at $5 million a year, Nazem Kadri at $4.5 million. Maybe Freddie Anderson, depending on where the money is.
Kadri looks like a real bargain to me. Kadri looks like...
Yeah, at $4.5 million, back-to-back 30 goals, that's an incredible price. I think Morgan Rielly's, you know, he had over 50 points last year. He plays more minutes than anybody on your team, and you're paying him $5 million for the next 4 years. That's a great price. So they might compensate, you know, by overspending at the in other areas by saying, you know what, we've cut costs somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or Winnipeg eventually. Truba's up, Myers is up, Line A's going to be up. Guys are going to get paid.
That's going to be a hard thing, and the Truba one's going to be a real tough one for them.
And he's a really good player, you know.
It's amazing that there's just. I was talking to a GM when I was in Edmonton at that Hlinka Gretzky Cup, which you're such a big fan of.
Yeah.
And just talking about how it's just relentless. It's never, you're never out of it. Because even when you're not in cap trouble, you're thinking, we're going to be.
Everything you do, you have to consider the number first. You can't consider the player.
So that's the problem. And that's what people don't quite grasp about the cap. So if you're a 30-goal scorer. So Brian Hayes is a 30-goal scorer making $6 million. And I'm a 20-goal scorer making $2 million. In a cap system, I'm more valuable than you. You have 10 more goals, but I'm more valuable than you. In a general sense. It could depend team to team.
Yeah, that $4
million. On what the rest of your group looks like. But
right.
But just on a generic team, I'm more valuable as a 20-goal scorer than you are as a 30-goal scorer.
Well, and that's what
that's where
the Tavares contract really comes into play, because he's got to score you 30 plus and probably have a point a game. He's got to, because if he doesn't, he scores 25 and Andreas Janssen scores 23. Now Tavares can have more of an impact overall, but you're like, wait a minute, this guy's making $1 million, you're making $11 million. Like, it's difficult to meet those expectations once you get a contract at that level,
and even if you do, it's hard to fit everyone else. Like, no one's saying that Patrick Kane didn't earn his contract last year in Chicago. No one's saying that. Now, did Jonathan Toews?
Not based on his production, he didn't.
If you evaluate Toews based solely on numbers, he didn't. The problem is, when a guy makes $10.5 million, it eats up a ton of your payroll. The Oilers... You know, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl were really good for them this year.
Didn't make a difference.
But they make $22 million between them. There's not enough left for everyone else. There's just not enough beans in the jar for everyone else.
Which is probably where the Leafs are going again with Matthews and Tavares. They're probably going to combine for around $22 million.
Now, the cap's going to go up. So no team's won the cup with a player making more than $10 million. No team's ever won the cup with a player with an eight-figure salary. Now, that's an $80 million cap. So this is different, right? I mean, the cap's going to 85. So, I mean, eventually someone will do it. But it hasn't happened yet.
Well, there aren't that many contracts of $10 million plus.
There's only a handful of contracts that are in that range.
Well, and look at it this upcoming season, okay? Just names off the top of my head that you know are making north of 10. Chicago, do you think they bounce back? There's a chance.
There is. Corey Crawford's the big question mark there.
Right. But because, just for this argument, let's say it's close, but it's conceivable to say they're going to miss. That's two guys right there, Taves and Kane, out of the playoffs. Buffalo, I don't see it. There's Eichel making $10 million, won't make the playoffs. Edmonton, I have a difficult time seeing it. Could happen. There's McDavid, out of the playoffs. Montreal.
Carey Price,
out of the playoffs. There's five guys right there. There's not that many in the
league. LA Kings, Anze Kopitar, 10.
I think they've
been a bubble team, though. I mean,
yeah,
really,
oh, yeah, for sure.
They missed.
Yep. No,
they missed,
for sure.
Then made. I mean, they've been a bubble.
And then you got the Leafs and Tavares, who I feel like they're going to make it. But
So, it's amazing when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
I
mean, there's a lot of guys. The guys who are making a lot of money are on some bad teams.
Or,
the rest of the league will catch up. But.
Yeah. I mean, Price is. This is the first year of the Price deal, right? So it's hard to say what the impact he's going to have on their cap.
Right. And if he's healthy, then he may be worth every penny. But
yeah,
we'll see. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine and wrap up what's been a busy afternoon. And we'll tee you up for your own show tomorrow.
There you go.
Gord Miller's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Fading the Orioles tonight. I'll take the home side, the Toronto Blue Jays. And said I thought that Marco Estrada would go legend tonight, so I'm going to go under the number.
Ooh.
As well.
What's the number?
9 runs.
Mm.
Low scoring.
For sure.
Match tonight. Event. Ball game. Whatever you want to call it. It's not going to be fun. I'm not suggesting that it's going to be necessarily Hall of Fame worthy baseball, but
no.
Under the number, the Jays win tonight in Tampa home plus against Kansas City.
You're betting a Tampa
against the Royals?
Okay.
As bad as Baltimore is, Kansas City might be worse. Throwing out 20, you can score 78. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
You did not incite me today.
No, I thought it was actually pretty good. Pretty cordial afternoon.
You were trying, but it didn't.
I tried to get under your skin as much as I could.
Yeah.
You know what would have done it?
What's that?
Claiming butter tarts are awful.
That would have set you off. I might throw down with you on that.
It would be a throwdown.
Yeah.
But I couldn't muster up that kind of bogus take because they are a thing of beauty.
We all know they're fantastic.
Yes,
we all know they are fantastic.
So you're back tomorrow, 11 a.m.
I'm hosting from 11 to 1 on my own, solo meal.
Wow.
Any advice for, as a long time?
Just wing it, man.
Just fly?
Yep. Come in and just whatever pops into your head,
just go
with it. Yep. Go with it.
Okay.
Maybe open up the phone lines.
Can we take calls?
Yeah, why not? You can do whatever you want.
Is that a good idea or bad? Tyler, the producer, just looked at me like, that's a really bad idea.
Well, I mean, I think there's still people waiting to get after you for your reaction to the Tavares signing and the salary cap stuff.
What was the big deal about that?
I think it was because he kind of blew past the excitement period.
Okay.
Where this is really a cool story and a great story.
Again, I got radio to that. I'm not against the signing. I was asking the question that a lot of hockey people are asking, how do you make it all fit?
Right, which is a totally reasonable question.
Okay, so
you'll have an answer for us tomorrow.
So maybe we'll take calls tomorrow. I'll talk to our producer.
Yeah, you do whatever you got to, man. It's your world, Gord. We're just living in it.
One dog, one bone.
All right, buddy. We'll hear you tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Sounds good.
There's Gord Miller. We're out of here. I will be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.